Hello, and welcome to Spooky Chris Podcast. My name is Chris Ringler, your aforementioned Spooky Chris. I'm an author, film reviewer, and general ne'er-do-well. I am honored today to speak to Layla Bird Revolt and Peace McAllister about their upcoming short horror film, Bloodsuckers of Bushwick. It's a great conversation about their experience in the industry and the kind of the things that are inspiring this short film. Now, to set the table, Layla Bird Revolt is a native of Flint, Michigan, and a New York resident. She's an NYU grad, having made short films in the past. She's been working in the industry since graduation while endeavoring to pursue narrative filmmaking full-time. Her new film, Bloodsuckers of Bushwick, is inspired by her love of horror and incorporates some of her experiences of Flint into its DNA. She is the director of this film, and Peace McAllister is the executive producer. Leonard F. Peace McAllister is a Tisch graduate with years of experience in many facets of filmmaking. Class of 21 with degrees in cinema studies, film and television, and business of media. Peace has worked on set in production and health and safety for companies such as Warner Brothers, Discovery, and Walt Disney. Recently, he became a published photographer as he was selected for Asseline's Kyoto Serenity. Peace works as the managing director and outreach coordinator for a film-based trauma-focused nonprofit org. But he still likes to aid creative projects he finds compelling. This is an amazing conversation about an exciting short film that is nearing production. So stay tuned. Well, thank you both for joining me for the podcast. I appreciate it. Thank you, Layla and Peace. How are you guys?
Thank you for having us. We're doing good.
Yeah, we're doing great. I'm excited to be here.
I mean, we'll get into it more, but I would imagine you're got to be getting excited because you're nearing a filming for your upcoming short. So that's got to be exciting.
Yes, we are so thrilled. It's been a lot of work up until this point. And now we're just picking up speed as we move closer to our filming dates end of June. So yeah, we've been really busy with that, but it's also a really beautiful spring in New York City. So that's great as well.
Oh gosh, I would imagine. It finally seems like things kind of just decided to winter was done, and it's just like done. We're in the summer now, so very typical. But all right, cool. I will just jump right in. Can you both tell me about how each of you fell in love with movies? I don't know if you want to go first, Peace or Layla, or however you want to do this.
Oh, Peace first.
Okay, sure. I'll go first. I would say, and I always say that my love for film kind of started with a love for cartoons. I think as any kid, I grew up with a lot of cartoons and I had a huge appreciation for them. But I think more than most, my appreciation turned from just, you know, a love for the cartoons themselves into an appreciation for animation as a medium. So this appreciation for animation as a whole led me to want to look into, you know, more, at least for, you know, a teenager or a young child, obscure pieces of animated media. So I was going towards animated film, obviously went into the now very popular works of Studio Ghibli at the time. And I would say that a lot of those films, you know, made me really fall in love with film as a medium and the way that I think, you know, that hour to 2.5 hour to 3 hour storytelling format really, you know, can get across a narrative, a character arc, and can express a world. And obviously short films can do the same. And, you know, 2D animation, I also got an appreciation for forms of 3D animation, such as stop motion, which Henry Selick's works especially really captured me, you know, Nightmare Before Christmas, Coraline, James and the Giant Peach. And I think between those two creators, their ability to take like the strange kind of dark aspect and introduce it to children's media, I think is also what kind of got me into like scarier, more perverse things
and you know has brought me to horror now with this short.
Now, would you have you seen yourself more as getting involved in the animation side if you were going to, like, you know, back in the day, if you were going to, I'm going to become like, I'm going to kind of do these stories, these visual stories. Would you have imagined you'd get in more of the side of animation, or that you would kind of get towards live action?
So I guess for me, I was always open and interested in all forms of film. So animation definitely was my introduction to the medium and is what helped me fall in love with film as a whole. But I also very much appreciate on-screen performances by actors, the way that, you know, a director can take a shot that, you know, something that you would walk past in your real life, maybe like a car or a street corner, and turn that into a completely different visual experience. Those things always fascinated me, and especially as someone who at the time had no experience with any kind of animation, and was not a very good drawer, I was like, okay, well, this is something that I can relate to, and maybe something I can do myself with my friends. That's something that we can do on the ground. And I think that's what opened me up to both aspects of film, you know, animated and live action.
I can see where that comes from, because I am a extraordinarily frustrated person, because I wanted to be an artist so desperately, and I am terrible. So, and I'm not that, I mean, I could shoot a can of water leaking, but I would have a better shot of that than trying to do anything artistic by hand. So I can appreciate the draw towards that. What about you, Layla? What kind of made you fall in love with movies?
Well, as a child, I think I was not as interested in animated movies or movies that were appropriate for children. I really loved, you know, older kind of geared films. We had a lot of classic films when I was growing up. I really loved Lars von Trier's Breaking the Waves
Okay.
and some of those old dark comedies and horror movies. And I always felt like as a kid, if somebody said that I shouldn't watch a movie because I was too young, I wanted to watch that movie more.
Right on. Same with as with Peace. I can appreciate that. So as having seen horror movies at a very early age, I can appreciate. And I mean, it is it's interesting. It seems like it's changed over the last, I don't know, kind of a generation. But kids' movies in the 80s were very, like, they kind of talked down to kids. Like, they'd slip in kind of dirty jokes and stuff, but it seems like storytelling for young people is seems a lot more mature anymore than a lot of what came out back then. So I can see the draw towards more mature storytelling that isn't kind of fart jokes and, you know, like kind of ridiculousness.
And I was fortunate to have parents who let me, you know, within reason, watch a lot of the classics. And I would fall in love with movies and then I would watch them over and over and over again. I would just hit rewind. I had one of those like little TVs that had the VHS player built in, and I would just sit there just like holding my finger on the rewind button and just wait and wait and wait and wait until I got back to the beginning, and I would watch again and again.
Oh wow. So did you find that it was those kind of movies were a comfort to you, or they had stimulated kind of a part of you that you know you were just exploring?
I think that they were a part of me. I think that I have always been like a big dreamer. I dream every night in a lot of detail. And so when I was a kid and I had, you know, an even more active imagination, I was able to like really, I was able to really get into the world of the film. And then I could walk away and daydream about the film, or I could dream literally about the film.
Wow.
And then, yeah, and then later on, when I got older, I started to lucid dream and started to like play around in the dream world. And I think that made me love films even more.
That's awesome. That's super cool. Well, this leads in then to my next question. Again, what was a foundational movie for both of you? Like a movie that really kind of like set the stage for what you fell in love with.
Lady, do you want to go first this time?
Sure. It was actually The Magical Legend of the Leprechauns, 1999. And this is a film that was supposed to be a made-for-TV series that ended up becoming a film, and it's starring Randy Quaid and Whoopi Goldberg.
Interesting. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, The Magical Legend of the Leprechauns, and it takes place on location in Ireland, and it's a really fun film. It's got a lot of practical effects, and it's very colorful and very funny, and it's made with a lot of love and intention. I recommend it to everyone.
Done. That's cool. What about you, Peace?
I would say that Princess Mononoke is pretty up there for me, I think. And I wrote my college entrance essay to NYU on Miyazaki. I think Mononoke was the first animated feature film that really challenged me, I think, as an audience member, especially at such a young age. It's something that looks so beautiful and is aligned with, what is usually considered childhood media, but it's also very graphic, it's very violent, it's very dark in some instances. And all of that for a message that as you grow older, you have a greater appreciation for, one of environmentalism, one of, the inappropriate and greedy nature of industrialization and war. I think it was just such a film that made me realize that so much can be done within a world, and how that can be expanded over time, and how that can be appreciated by so many different kinds of people for so many different reasons, whether it be just enjoying it as a visual, as a visual piece of art, or enjoying it for its messages, or enjoying it for the characters, or the moments that, or the music that inspires you. It's just such, his work is always so layered with so many different levels that you can, engage with it at, that I think that that film really just helped propel me into wanting to go into this world a little bit more deeply.
Fantastic. That's amazing. So and Peace, if you want to start on this one, what's your journey for both you been like in the industry so far?
Yeah, sure, I can go. So I would say that my journey has been an unconventional one. And I think that is the case for a lot of people in our generation going into the entertainment industry at this point. But I went to NYU for film, for cinema studies, which is kind of like history, critique, and analysis of film. And then I also had a minors in business of media and in production. So I came out of school, thinking I was like, okay, I'm going to be a triple threat. I'm going to go in and do everything that I can wherever I am. And coming out of college right after COVID made the film industry really hard to get into. So I started on sets doing, what everybody does, the production assistant route, and also worked a little bit in health and safety in a post-COVID society for companies like Disney and HBO. And then from there, going back to my roots of being like, okay, I care for film in a medium, or I care for film as a medium that can engage with, social messages and important topics of conversation. I am now working as a managing director for a nonprofit film company that deals with films that relate directly to trauma. But in addition to that, I still, and with what I can and the time I do have, I still produce, I still like to write, like to work with people on their sets in any way that I can, to create films, that me and my friends all care about.
So is that kind of being able to work on that kind of stuff a bit of a release from the work? It has to be real heavy stuff to work on projects regarding trauma. So is working on these other projects kind of a, like say, like a release to kind of so you don't get mired into that trauma yourself?
I would say that I don't think that it is. I think that I'm engaging with everything on a creative level. And As much as talking about trauma can be very heavy for people, I think that I've gotten to a place where I'm comfortable engaging with it purely on a level of analysis and reflection, more so than personally allowing it to affect my everyday. But I do think that in terms of just normal human emotion, I do think that being a creative is very re does relieve a lot from everyday stresses, whether or not you're somebody who is working with trauma-related things. Like when I'm on set with people that I care about and I see, and we together we can make something that we really appreciate. I think that that is something that is relieving, especially somebody who loves film.
Fantastic. What about you, Layla?
Well, I just want to echo what Peace is saying. I mean, I think that what we're doing, what we're trying to do on set, and the content that we're trying to make is really with trauma-informed care. I think that the way that the industry, people are treated in the industry is really unfair and insane. And so a lot of us who fell in love with this industry and this medium are sort of thrown into a very rude awakening at the beginning of our careers about what the reality is of these systems that exist. And so I think that while we can always invest and support our friends when we have opportunities to draw attention to more complicated issues, then it makes the, it makes a sort of infinitely, healing and sort of situation. Peace is better at this than I am. Can't you see why he's the executive producer?
No, I think you guys are doing great. Like, I just do you like Peace, do you have anything to add to that? Like, it's because it's interesting, because especially for someone like me, coming generally speaking, just as like sitting down watching movies, it's I think a lot of folks don't realize, it's they think, oh, if you're in a movie, you're rich, you're happy, you're everything's great, and they don't realize that, most actors are scraping by, and that, it's there's the politics in everything, and the, social and political and all this other stuff, and I think, fans get to be blissfully ignorant of all that while you guys are mired in it.
Yeah, I mean, the film, obviously, people who love making film, and there's really nothing that can change that. But it can be as disheartening as it is rewarding at times. Like the amount of effort and love that you put into a project, at any level can be excruciating. I mean, like, especially when you're just starting out, like Layla was saying, like you go into this industry thinking that everybody there is there for the purposes of, making a great product or making something that you can love artistically. But a lot of times people are just there to get a job done. They're just there to make money, and they don't necessarily, they're not looking out for the people around them. They're just trying to do what they need to do. And even when you do make something that's worthwhile, sometimes you don't get the credit that you feel like you deserve, or you have things change about a project behind your back. Like the industry is a rough one, but I think that, when you make something that you're really proud of, it makes you feel accomplished despite those things. And I think that that's what all, creatives in the industry are really trying to achieve, is that feeling.
Recently we've seen so many kind of high profile projects just kind of be like nuked into the vapor and disappear. Have either of you had any experience with something like that, where something you've put your heart and soul into and worked on just kind of disappeared or was taken out of your hands?
No, but I've definitely had situations where I've worked on projects and then not been credited, or been credited lower than my actual role or contribution, as a woman or as a young woman. So thankfully, not yet, have not worked really hard on a filmic baby and lost it. But I mean, it's interesting. I was listening to an interview the New York Times did with Ben Stiller recently, talking about Severance and what a strange kind of career that he's had, starting with Reality Bites and then becoming a very commercial comedy actor and then moving into Severance. And he has a line in that interview that really stuck out to me about how he sort of thought, you know, with his success, he would be the kind of person that he could just make his own stuff. You know, he paid his dues, right? He had the power to do it, but there were still people saying no to his projects that he couldn't identify. He didn't know who was saying no. And so that's really scary as a budding filmmaker, to wonder about, okay, I have these ideas that I really love and I'm really invested in, and if I give them to a studio or if I engage with a bigger entity than me, are they going to kill it? Are they going to say they like it and then pay for the rights and then never make it? And then I can never make it. Why are they making these decisions? It's not very clear. It's very mysterious. And I think that aspect of the industry is truly scary.
What about you, Peace? Is there anything you've worked on that you've seen or been involved in that you kind of someone changed or took out of your hands?
I've been lucky enough also to not have that happen. But I mean, in the same way that Layla just did, I mean, there have been projects where I've been on set where things just were not handled professionally. And I feel like that can be as bad as like getting a product out where you look at it and while it seems nice on the surface, you remember all of the hardship that you went through to make it. And sometimes it doesn't feel like it was worth it, even if it wasn't changed behind your back. And I've just been on some sets where, you know, people just act unprofessionally, things are not done the right way, and things get swept under the rug, you know, so that people can do what they got to do to get to the end of the day to get their paycheck. And, you know, I think that aspect of the industry is something that, especially on our productions, we want to change. You know, we want things to be run right. We want people to be treated properly. We want people to feel like they're valued and that they're compensated fairly. Like, those are things that we're trying to address directly.
That's fantastic. And this all leads kind of into my next question. You've both obviously worked in the industry in different roles and positions. What do you think needs to evolve and kind of change in the industry to better serve the creatives and the audience?
Layla, do you want to take that?
I was gonna let you, but I mean, there's so much. Yeah, there's so much that needs to change and evolve. I mean, I think about how film, you know, movies, this artistic medium is just about 100 years old. It's not really that old in the grand scheme of things, and when it first started, a lot of women were editors because editing film in its original form was kind of like sewing. It was kind of like working with textiles, which was traditionally a woman's job, or a woman's craft. And then, you know, once the big studio system sort of realized that they could make a lot of money if they started turning out these films, they wanted to make sure that they could control the product. And so they took women out of those roles because they realized that the editor has a lot of power in making the film. And so from that point forward, you know, looking at the history of film, you see a lot of mechanics taken from GM, the General Motors assembly line. People arriving on set, they don't know what they're supposed to do. They fall in line, they listen to the person above them. They're not collaborating or, you know, doing anything that would be sort of putting them in a position where people dislike them. You know, everybody has to be really subordinate on set in order to get that paycheck. And there's also, you know, a lot of modeling after the Catholic Church, a hierarchy of knowledge. Depending on where you fall in the food chain, you have more or less knowledge about the project. And so all of these foundations in the industry are really tricky to upend. And you'll meet a lot of people in the industry who want to be treated better. They want change. They see that these are problems. But then when you try to initiate change or ask them to make changes, they struggle with it because they want to do a good job and it's out of their comfort zone. And they're also traumatized and internalized a lot of these toxic behaviors. So at the end of the day, I think that it'll really be a new generation of people who are going to change the industry for the better. And hopefully the way that things are shifting in terms of budgets and in terms of, streaming services, the way we do our projects, all of these things will facilitate an opportunity for change. Because, if you want films that are, not through the male gaze, right? If you want women's gaze, if you want other people's gaze, then we need to be making films in a way that suits us, not a hierarchy of knowledge or, these sort of patriarchal formats. That's not going to work. And I think it does inform the projects. You ever watch a film and, maybe it's not the best film you've ever seen, but you just think, wow, everybody's having a good time. Like you can feel the energy of that project through the film. Everybody's having fun. You feel like people are really collaborating. Those are the kind of films that I want to make where it feels like something different was happening in order to create content that just felt a little more warm and open and really different than what we're getting now, which can be really sterile and like a little too clean maybe, and a little too focused on making that money back.
Right on. That's awesome. Yeah, I have talked about this. Not that you would have ever known. I worked on a movie around here, like a guy was making, and like every time you talked to him, you could tell like everything in his mind was, I'm gonna do this, and it's gonna go on to like a streaming service. I'm gonna make all this money. And it was like, friend, I don't think you understand how this works. And that was like his sole focus. And it like, we never ever finished the movie. Like he had so many people working on it, and it was just the craziest situation. And he just kind of he handed off all the footage to a mutual friend to edit, and like this, it was such a mess of like where they didn't properly kind of slate that, and then pair it with audio because they were recording audio separately. And this, our friend was going to have to somehow figure out kind of how to put all that together. And it was just, and eventually the guy just kind of just walked away. And like, we had all, and not even I, but like people had worked so hard for him. And then he just kind of lost interest and walked off. So I get what you're, where you're coming from to a degree.
If your intentions, I think your intentions do read through the film, and there's a lot of wacko producers in the industry that I've worked with who sort of, claim no one will be harmed, nothing bad will happen in my care. And that's not what we're proposing here. We're proposing a thoughtfulness, an evolution, an invitation for like real innovation in the industry that makes sense to us and is, a little like a little punk rock, a little rebellious. Because at the end of the day, there's a lot of people making things right now. People have cell phones and they can go on TikTok and make content. And I love their content on TikTok. So I think, you want to have really something to say and you want to have a lot of love behind it.
Right on. What are your thoughts on this piece?
I mean, I think that Layla speaks to a lot of my opinions on it. I was going to say the one thing that I don't know if she really, touched on, but I know that she agrees with from our private conversations, is that a lot of the industry not just is, assumed to work a certain way and everybody is assumed to follow that and be okay with how that goes, but also a lot of it is gatekept. Even if you want to follow the traditional way of how the industry works, you are intentionally put at a disadvantage and sometimes kept at a disadvantage for the majority of your career as to how to accomplish certain things, whether it be ta in a tactile way, like how do I use a camera? How do I use this form of editing software? How is the what's the best way to write a script, or what's the best program for script writing, or whatever, in that way, it's things are gatekept. And then additionally, things like having certain conversations with groups of people, people who can give you opportunities are kept behind walls and walls of other people. Even if the person at the top might be interested in helping somebody on the ground, maybe their assistant's not interested in helping you get to that person because their assistant wants exclusive access to that person. Or somebody has their circle of funders, but they don't want you, putting your pocket in their funders' pockets because they want to keep all that money to themselves. I think this kind of like dog eat dog nature of the industry is something that has to change, because I think that from its humble roots as like Layla said, a fairly new art form, it has become this multi-billion-dollar industry. Where people's concern isn't necessarily getting something interesting or getting something worthwhile. It's just, being at the top and staying there.
Which it's interesting. I've been around nonprofits long enough in Flint and everything. It's fascinating how so much of all of this comes down to someone. I mean, and again, it's gatekeeping of different types, but like they don't necessarily, they may not be in direct competition with you. There may be no need for that, but they don't want to share resources or even kind of just the thoughts between one another in case you're successful and they're not, and they kind of, feel like they got screwed. So it's interesting that it permeates so much of what just we do as a society.
Yeah, that's sad, honestly.
It's really disappointing. I mean, on top of everything, and then for what? And then what are you making? What are you making? A Weight Watchers commercial? It's just like I can't. So I mean, part of this, when I started in the industry, I started out, being a second assistant director, working with talent, working with models. And I also did a lot of PAing, production assisting. I was even a truck PA in New York City, which is pretty funny, because it's typically like a big burly man, more of a big burly man's job. But I was often driving box trucks around New York City and New Jersey because I could do that. I could drive really well. And I just felt really preyed upon by a lot of people who took advantage of my hard work ethic, took advantage of my Midwest niceness, and how green I was. And I felt like I was in a lot of positions, not an actor, wasn't interested in being an actor. I was just interested in learning the industry and getting more work and being able to pay my rent. But, being kind of like coerced into a lot of, dinners and like oddly, strangely, r inappropriately romantic situations and all of that sort of grooming and not just of, people who are romantically interested in me, but people who are interested in taking advantage of me and not, paying me a full rate. I reached this point where I sort of realized that a lot of it is very scammy. And I didn't want to, even if I had continued on that path, right, and entertained, right, all of these people, I felt like I didn't even want to go about making films in the way that they wanted me to anyways. So, yeah, I think that I had at some point decided that I wasn't interested in doing it their way. I was only interested in doing it my way. And I didn't know who was going to give me permission to be a filmmaker. It was only myself. So yeah, I think it's been really freeing, and created like a really safe feeling to walk away from that and start building towards this other future in the indie sphere.
Which is a great transition to talk about the Bloodsuckers of Bushwick. So yeah, you're both working on a new independent short that's, like you said, it's about to start filming. So what can you tell me about it?
I see we racing. We're racing to unmute ourselves. Yeah. So, it's a short film that Layla wrote that we're really excited about. I don't know what exactly I should say. I don't want to obviously spoil any plot details, but we've got a lot of really talented people behind it, both from, our circles in New York and in Flint. And we feel like it's a story about a really real experience. It doesn't really get, touched upon much in stories about the city that we live in. And it's it has elements of, the real life experience of being somebody moving into a new environment, and in some ways, like Layla said, being taken advantage of, not really knowing what you're getting yourself into, maybe being a little bit too trusting, and the situations that gets you into. As a transplant or somebody who's trying to start anew somewhere else. But do you have anything you want to say?
Absolutely. We've been working on this film in seriousness since September. But this was an idea that I was kind of kicking around for a couple years. Well, a few years, really. I think right before the pandemic, I had a lot of inspiration for this film. I think that this film is going to be really interesting because of all of the really, as P said, really talented and uniquely perspectived people behind it. But I think that we have an opportunity here to do something filmically, visually, that will be really awesome. I'm excited to work with darkness and light. My partner is a cinematographer. He's Emmy nominated cinematographer.
Awesome.
And he's really talented. And something that he's really good at is lighting as well. And so we also have this element in the film that is animated. The bed bugs in the film, no spoilers, are animated. So that's kind of an opportunity for us to melt some mediums together. And yeah, so it's been a work in progress for a long time. We only announced it 10 days ago, if you can believe it. 10 days ago today.
That, I mean, that, my next question was how it all came together, but that has to be scary the day you kind of like go live with your social media and kind of put it out there. It's, I mean, it's not an idea anymore, as much work as you put into it, like it's the world knows now.
Yeah, it was a whisper in the wind and before. And so then, it was really interesting because people started sharing it and saying, it's really happening. This is really happening. Follow our project, donate to Indiegogo, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, when is the film real? When is the film real? Is the film real once we film the film and we have the film and we've edited the film? Is the film real when I'm conceiving the film under like a shroud of like night darkness, like on my laptop, just illuminated from the screen? Is the film real when I start telling people about it? Is the film real when we announce it? I can't figure that out, but the film is real now, right? You put yourself out there, no matter what happens between now and end of June. The film is real. We're making the film. It's crazy. It is scary.
I feel like it's intention, and it's like I mean, obviously you both have earned the trust of the folks involved with this, and I think it's that trust in trusting you. Because I mean, again, like I'm sure the three of us have known lots of people that are like, as soon as they have the thought, oh, this is a thing, this is happening, and it's great because that can work as inspiration. But for a lot of folks, it's just they're high on the like talking about it, but when it gets down to doing it, it's like, oh yeah, this is a lot harder than I think. But clearly, you both, the intention, like the intention is there, and it's not a whim. It is a no, this is going to happen. This is what's happening. And I assume because you've both worked in the industry long enough, you have built up this kind of experience that, like, no, I know what it takes to do this. And looking at the social media, you both, it clearly know how to proceed without kind of, wasting people's time, to kind of put it bluntly.
Interesting. That's an interesting perspective. I'm so glad that you feel we're not wasting people's time because I would hate to do
Well, I mean,
that.
it's again, it comes back to the idea of folks that, I mean, like the guy I knew, like people that are all talk and have no intention to follow through, and you both are so passionate about this project and have kind of planned it out so well. I mean, it's clear that this is a thing. This is just a matter of kind of moving ahead.
Well, thank you so much. I personally struggle with patience. I am really, truly impatient person, and I think that the best things, really do take a lot of patience and a lot of work. And so for me, I am often working in a really fast pace at my job. I work in broadcast now, and things have to turn over really quickly and answers have to be given really quickly. And so it's been really nice to take our time, before launching this to the world, take our time with this project, make sure that we know we can pull it off, we can execute it well, and we know what it's supposed to be, and we know, who the key players are. And they know their roles. So it's been really nice to really take our time with this one. And yeah, it's taken a lot of hours, but we're really proud of its progress so far.
That is amazing. So are there any kind of visual or story influences that are part of the DNA, without obviously without giving anything away? Because I've seen the social media posts that have like kind of the language of of imagery that seems to inspire it. But is there stuff that you're is in the back of your head?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I really wanted the social media to feel almost like a pitch deck or like a you could really see the inspiration for the film. And we're big cinephiles, so I'm really enjoying like posting films that I've drawn inspiration from. But I think that some films that we really have some nods to, if on purpose or by accident, in this film, are I would say the soot sprites in Spirited Away, the sort of like energetic animation, like simple animation that you're noticing in some Studio Ghibli films. Also, Single White Female. I guess I have to look up what year that film is from, but I'm sure you know it, Chris.
Early 90s, or very, like, I can't remember, it's 90, 89, somewhere around there.
Yeah, it's 1992.
Okay, yeah, and it was, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Single White Female. Gosh, yeah, there's so many. A lot of vampire movies, I would say, a lot of blood-sucking flicks from the past, but also I really love some of the content that's been made in Brooklyn, like Just Another Girl on the IRT, which I'd have to look up the date for, and also Pariah, which is on the Pariah 2011, which is actually an NYU alum, I believe, is the director, Dee Rees. I should fact check that Dee Rees did go to NYU. But anyways, I think Pariah visually is a really stunning film. So yeah, those are some of the inspirations for it. But I don't really, I'm hoping that we really accomplish something different with this one.
That's fantastic. And I have to say, like, because again, you know, it's I'm about to basically get into the kind of how folks can track you down, but it's great to see that, you know, you both are coming into this with the intention, again, with intentionality, like to do this the right way and to make sure, you know, your talent is paid and that this is done kind of in a way that you both are going to be proud of. Like I really applaud that. That's really great to see.
We appreciate that, and you know, we hope that it can become a norm. You know, we hope that it can become a norm for, you know, set people that work in film to experience and to expect, and that, you know, the product of those environments can be enjoyed by audiences, so that, you know, the industry realizes that you can have something that runs properly and respectfully. And it will still, you know, be profitable. It'll still create something that people will enjoy.
Fantastic. And again, this gets into so yeah, you are in the fundraising process for this. Can you tell folks how they can support it and where to track that down?
Of course. So yeah, we're on Instagram at Bloodsuckers of Bushwick. We're on Facebook at Bloodsuckers of Bushwick dash short film. And we are on Indiegogo, also at Bloodsuckers of Bushwick dash short film. So we would love for people, you know, to follow us on our socials, to support and boost our posts so that, you know, they can reach as many people as possible. And we have a bunch of amazing perks that we've designed together and that I've done a lot of graphic design for on our Indiegogo. So we've got t-shirts, we've got tote bags that we're going to be giving out as well. So we have a lot of interesting stuff over there, and we're and posters, and we're hoping that people can come over there and support us and get this incredibly cool merch that we have, and you know, help support our film.
That is fantastic. And that was my last question for you guys. Is there any last thing you guys want the world to know about Bloodsuckers of Bushwick and just kind of what to look forward to?
I would just say that we hope that you. If you're interested in our project, you will follow us and you will stay in touch. If you have any questions about how to set up your own project, how to set up your own Indiegogo, please reach out because we'd love to commiserate on this process. And also all, you know, all of these ideas and things that we have, you know, they're not our own. We hope that they will expand and inspire others to set up their own sets and collaborations in ways that make sense to them. So, we want you to be a part of our community, for, you know, seeing change in the industry. And, you know, when it's your time and you have your Indiegogo up and you have t-shirts for sale, we will be buying your t-shirts. So, please let us know about your projects. And, yeah, reach out if any of this speaks to you.
Amazing. Thank you both for making time for this. This has been an absolute delight, and I can't wait to see the movie.
And thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you. You guys have a great night. I want to thank Layla and Peace for making the time to speak to me today. I think this is going to be a really great short film. As they said, you can find their project, Bloodsuckers of Bushwick, on Indiegogo, and you can find them on Instagram and the socials, so follow them so they can follow the progress of the film. I appreciate them making time. I appreciate you for listening. I will speak to you soon. Take care.